rising of Sirius used to occur around the end of June, about the same time that Egypt's Nile River staged its yearly flood. Thus, to the ancient Egyptians, the dog star's return appeared to bring the flood. The priests watched before dawn for the reappearance of the dog star each year, and later founded their calendar on this momentous event. For this 15th day of August, that's star date. Our show's written by Deborah Bird and produced for the University of Texas MacDonald Observatory in Austin, zip 78712. Thanks for being with me. I enjoyed your company. I'm Joel Block.
Well, it's 5 minutes after 12 o'clock. I'm Eric Corley.
I'm Mike Uhas.
And a very good evening to you all.
And good morning.
This is Radio Free Weekend. We've got, as usual, a special show planned for you, which I guess means that it's not special if we do it every week.
Yes, well, we do it every week, don't we?
Then we certainly do.
Yes, we do.
We have a lot of things planned for you tonight, including a brand new USB mascot, which we will be introducing to you. And we'll also be talking with several interesting people around the island and around the country.
That's true. Long Island and elsewhere.
What else do we have, Mike?
Well, we got Bucky and Spunky, we've got the tripods, just about anything you wish or could imagine.
And we've got you, too.
Who, me?
No, I meant the people out there. our listeners, who can call us up at any time, 246-7901, and tell us
246-7901.
And they're calling already.
Wow, it's lit up like a Christmas tree.
Probably no connection, but feel free to call us
up. It's probably Larry Braverman calling us up.
Yeah, from inside the station.
Yeah.
Those kind of things happen. Well, stay right where you are at 90.1, and the Radio Free Weekend will carry you along with it. And you'll see the kind of wild things that can happen.
All sorts of sound effects. We're going to have our Dial a Sound Effect program coming up a little bit later.
We certainly will. Well, you can call up and request your own sound effect.
Mm-hmm.
So stay with us.
Don't go away.
And this loneliness won't leave me alone. thousand miles I roam, just to make this dock my home. Now I'm just gonna sit at the dock of a bay, watching the tide roll away. Ooh, sitting on the dock of a bay, wasting time.
My thing, baby, give it to you. trouble, sell my thing. Lord, you know, sell my thing. If I feel my bad, you gonna give it to a other man. Tell me what was on your worried mind. Tell me one time if I'm gonna lose my mind. Cause I wouldn't sell you my thing. If I give you my bag, baby, you gonna give it to your other man. Just a lot of money now. Here for you, baby. Got to keep my friend.
Thank you.
And that's Otis Spann, Sweet Giant of the Blues.
Sounds like you're in stereo, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. And that was something called Selling My Thing.
What's his thing that he's selling?
I don't know. But
look at the back of the album, there's all sorts of information here about who plays on the album. Oh, this is Ben piano, Paul Humphrey drums, Max Bennett on bass, Louis Shelton on guitar, and Tom Scott tenor sax and flute.
Tom Scott's on there?
Yes, he is. He plays on quite a few of these things. You know, it even gives the times that the songs were recorded.
This is Long Island.
Really?
Non-commercial.
Yeah, shut Frank up, please.
1FM in stereo.
Thank you. Yes, half of this album was recorded on August 13th, 1969, between
what times?
2 and 5 p.m.
Huh.
It's sort of like Walt Scratch Show on Sunday. The whole thing was recorded then, and also recorded the same day, August 13th, 1969, 7 to 10 p.m.
Huh.
That's sort of like in the morning shift that we have. We don't have a 7 to 10
shift. No, it's 7 to 10 p.m., doesn't it?
7 to 10 p.m., right. But if it was a.m., it would be like, you know, a Frank Burgard or...
So that's kind of like a Jerry DeLisle with an extra hour, or Jim Ross or something.
Yeah, you could say that, too.
Uh-huh.
Caribbean program tonight.
Yes, that's true.
That's very true. So what is that you have underneath us?
That's the Pakistani music theme.
Oh, the Pakistani music theme.
Courtesy of Tahira.
Before Otis Spann, what was it we heard?
Johnny Otis.
All right, and we started with Otis Redding. And sitting on the dock of the bay.
Why so many Otises, you may ask?
You may ask that very well. And, well, we have an answer for you this week.
We found ourselves a WUSB mascot at long last.
Quite by accident, I guess. That's how these things were supposed to work out. But why don't you explain it to us, Mike, as you were coming to the station to dutifully perform...
All my duties.
All your duties, right.
I was walking up the walkway, and there's this pigeon sitting right in the middle of the walk, right in between the two buildings, basically.
Uh-huh.
And so I went up to it, and I said hi, and I shook his hand. He's kind of apprehensive at first of me. So... I finally, you know, I got up to it, and I started, you know, he started pecking at my fingers. It was kind of neat, and so I finally got it to the point where he could, where I could pick him up, and so I picked him up, and I brought him in the station, and it's sitting right in the record library window, actually, kind of just dozing off.
That's amazing. Now, we don't know what is really wrong with this pigeon, because pigeons don't trust people that much.
Yeah.
Normally. We found out that it was banded on one leg. It's got a little silver band.
Right.
You have the numbers and letters?
Well, I don't want to give the numbers out right now, because if this is, in fact, somebody's lost homing pigeon, and we give out the numbers, that's the only means they're going to identify. So if you are missing a homing pigeon, if you supply the correct numbers, it's yours. You can have it back. But meantime, it's going to be our USB staff mascot.
Yeah, we'd appreciate, though, all the help we can get in...
returning it to its rightful owner.
Exactly, because this bird is a little bit hurt. I think it flew into a building or something.
Hmm.
It's got a slight wound on its head, I guess.
Or something. Well, actually, we kind of cleared that head wound up, actually.
Oh, did we?
It appeared to be some kind of abscess, or, well, maybe not an abscess, like some scab material, like he had gotten into it, like kind of like the sleepies you get in your eyes.
Well, this is over twice the size of his eye, though.
Yes.
That's kind of unusual.
That's true, but that had fallen off, and he's very thirsty. We gave him some water, and drank that up just like a...
Have you given him water recently? We gave him some a few hours ago, but...
Well, I think he's sleeping.
He's sleeping now, but I think he's still thirsty. If you want to leave some water next to him, that might be a good idea.
That's true. It'll probably be gone by the time Lister gets in tomorrow morning.
Sure. No question about that. Now, we should try feeding him, too.
That's true.
What's the best thing to feed a pigeon?
Well, I tried feeding him a piece of wheat bread.
Uh-huh.
Didn't go for it.
Doesn't like wheat bread. And the pigeons in the park, well, they eat anything, I guess, if you give them.
Popcorn, peanuts, anything, yeah.
But this is a homing pigeon, or he's sort of a brown and white pigeon. I don't know what you call
those. Not only that, it doesn't seem to be saying anything. Usually you hear a pigeon go, coo, coo, coo.
Yeah, he's not cooing. He's not doing anything. He's kind of out of balance.
He just sounds like this.
Hmm. Well, there you have it. That is a problem, man.
Yeah.
He flaps his wings.
Yeah,
when we drop him while holding him, in our hands, we sort of drop him kind of, you know,
just
quickly.
Get to a different hand, yeah.
Yeah, no danger of him falling or anything, but he does flap his wings as if to act as a brake, but not really to fly so much. So I don't think he has the ability so much to fly. He also sort of teeters on his feet when he stands up, which is unusual for a pigeon. So he might have some problems still.
Well, that's
so if there are any vets theory, listening, yeah. You know, we'd appreciate all the advice they can give us, because we do want to make sure that this bird is you know, as healthy as he can be.
Well, don't call us right now, but we'll tell you the phone number anyway. It's 246-7901.
And
the area code's 516 if you're not in it.
Yeah. Even if you are,
you know, we found out that even though Fisher's Island is closer to Connecticut, it's within the 516 area.
Yes, we did, and we have some information about Fisher's Island, which
we'll be passing along to you shortly.
We'll be getting to that very soon. If there are any listeners in Fisher's Island, and they call us up at the number that's ringing now, 246-7901. Oh, I'm sorry, Mike, you should have had that.
Try it again.
246-7901. Very good.
Area code 516.
If there are any listeners in Fisher's Island, now we know there aren't too many people out there.
Well, this time of year there are.
Okay, this time of year there are. So there is a good chance that somebody out there is listening to us now. I want people out in Fisher's Island to call us up just to say that it happened.
Right.
What will we give these people for calling us up?
Otis.
Want to give him Otis?
No, we can't. No, we can't get rid of our station mascot.
That wouldn't be nice. The phones are lighting up like a Christmas tree. I think
they are.
Otis is drawing more appeal than we are.
Yeah.
Okay, if anybody on Fisher's Island calls us and can prove it, we'll give them something better than we've ever given anyone before.
That's true.
And probably better than we ever will give them.
And wow, we're certainly getting a lot of phone calls tonight.
Oh, what's going on here?
Yeah, it's amazing.
Who's taking them, though? That's all I want to know.
The girl in the back.
Oh, well.
Beth has volunteered her services.
Okay, well, the pigeon hotline, I guess, is open, 246-7901. If there's anything...
Hey, I wanted to have that one, you know.
Oh, I'm sorry. I keep doing that.
It's 246-7901.
And if you have any information about pigeons or about that particular pigeon or know somebody who knows about pigeons, by all means...
Get in touch with us.
Give us a call at Radio Free Weekend.
Especially if you're from Fisher's Island. Say, a little while ago, we had a gentleman call up and he wanted to hear some Steely Dan.
That's not a bad idea. Just so happened. Unbelievable, Mike. Steely Dan is here, right here in the studios.
Great.
used to scream that I've got. I never want to hear the song. You better take it tonight. See, I knew that song so long before we met, that it means much more than it might be.
Send signals from the rocks above the pass. The cowboys take position in the bushes and the grass. The story is with the corporal, she is tied against the tree. She doesn't mind the language, it's the beating she don't need. She lets loose all the horses when the corporal is asleep. And he wakes to find the fire's dead and arrows in his hat. And Davy Crockett rides around and says it's cool for cats, it's cool for cats. The swing is doing 90 because they've got nowhere to go. They get a gang of villains in a shed up that he broke. They're counting out the fivers when the handcuffs lock again. In and out of ones with the numbers on their names. It's funny how the missus always looks a bit insane. And meanwhile at the station there's a couple of likely lads who swear like how's your father, and they're very cool for cats, they're cool for cats. The mood a little, I've been posing down the pub. I'm seeing my reflection, I'm looking slightly rough. I fancy this, I fancy that, I wanna be so fresh. I give a little muscle and I spend a little cash. But all I get is bitter and a nasty little rash. And by the time I'm sober, I've forgotten what I've had. And everybody tells me that it's cool to be a cat, cool for cats.
And we're back again.
It's Squeeze.
Stereo.
Cool for cats. Radio Free Weekend.
90.1 FM.
Mike, you have the weather, I believe.
USB Long Island weather is calling for partly cloudy with patchy fog tonight.
I knew he was going to do that.
With a low in the 60s. Increasing clouds tomorrow. Warm and humid with a chance of some afternoon and nighttime showers or thunderstorms. High in the 80s. Low tomorrow night in the 70s. Winds for you sailors, skaters, hang gliders, surfers, butterfly catchers, that kind of thing. Southerly about 10 miles per hour tonight and tomorrow morning, increasing to 10 to 20 miles per hour tomorrow with possibly higher gusts and thundershowers.
How about that?
Andy, you interested in the outlook for Sunday?
Yeah, okay, well, why not?
A chance of scattered thundershowers high in the 80s. And right now there's no warnings or advisories in effect for Long Island waters, the Long Island Sound, Long Island South Shore, or Bay Area at the present time.
Currently 23 degrees out of doors at 73 Celsius.
What is that in
outdoors? 73 Fahrenheit,
yes.
Excuse me.
Yes, you should be.
73 Celsius would not be pleasant at all.
No, not at all.
12:38 USB Long Island time.
What is that in daylight?
I don't know.
In central time, that would be 11:38.
11:38 central time.
Yeah.
Well, it would be 11:38 regular time for us too, standard time, wouldn't it? Yeah. Spring ahead, you fall behind,
right?
So
yes.
We'll be falling behind in a couple of months.
See, we look at things from all angles here at USB.
All different angles.
Looking over on this side and over on this side
and over here and over there, everywhere.
Mm-hmm.
Now, Mike, you did some research on Fisher's Island before. We were talking about that. By the way, the office still applies. No one has called up yet from Fisher's Island. If such a person wants to do so and win himself something or herself, something that's better than anything that Mike or myself have ever given away before on the air.
That's true.
It doesn't amount to much, actually. But we will make it worth your while.
And no bogus calls, please. We don't want to tie up the lines.
No, we have ways of proving that you're calling from certain places, too.
That's true. 246-7901.
Very sophisticated means we have of doing things around here. Anybody from Fisher's Island who is on Fisher's Island at this moment, I think our signal travels out that far. I'm not certain, but... Well, you could even cheat a little bit. You could even call somebody you know in Fisher's Island and tell them to call us. How's that?
Yeah.
Okay, we'll even accept that. We just want to get a call from Fisher's Island because we've called that place enough already.
Well, let's call them right now. Well, let's listen to the tape.
Well, now, Mike made up the tape. He called up a few people on Fisher's Island, found out something about the place, and, well, why don't we just see what Mike did, okay?
Dialing for operators.
Good evening, Mr. Gordon. May I help you?
Yes, Mr. Gordon. I need rate information, please.
Okay, to what number?
Well, actually, this would be in Fisher's Island, a 788 exchange, I believe.
Hey, that's, is that 516 area code?
Yes, it is. Last time I called a number out there, it showed up in the long-distance section of my bill.
I'll check to see how much that would be.
Okay. Operators can be so helpful.
Okay.
I need rates for right about this time.
Okay.
And after 11 as well.
Okay, thank you. Yeah, it would be long distance.
Mm.
I don't know why. Strange.
Yeah, it is in the 516 area. Maybe because it's closer to Connecticut.
I guess so. I'll tell you how much it would be.
Okay.
If you dialed it yourself at this time, the charge would be SNES user plus the tax for the first minute, and SNES UNOX for each additional minute. And then from 11 p.m. to 8 a.m. or on the weekends till Sunday at 5, it'd be SNES UNOX for the first minute plus the tax, and SNES UNOX for each additional minute.
Okay. Well, thank you very much, Mr. Gordon.
You're welcome.
Okay, goodbye.
Bye.
And now, a Fisher's Island busy signal.
Hello? Station, can I help you?
Yes, ma'am. I just dialed 788 youth from now. I got busy signal about three times, but I'm afraid this is going to show up on my bill for some reason because at previous months I've tried calling, this is in Fisher's Island where I'm calling, getting busy signals or no answer at all, and the call's appearing on my bill. I'm just wondering if I could get this wiped out before it appears.
You mean you got only a busy signal and you were still charged?
That's right, yes.
You should speak to your business office about that then, sir. I can give you credit if you reach a wrong number, if you have a poor connection, or if you're cut off. Do you believe the phone was picked up?
No, I do not.
You should not be charged if the phone wasn't picked up.
Yeah, well, see, okay, I'll have to get in touch with my business office then.
Right.
Okay, well, thank you very much then. Good night. Yes, I need information on Fisher's Island.
Fisher?
The Fisher's Island Fire Department.
Okay, I'll see if they have a separate number. Hold on.
Okay. Boy, you answered that phone really quick.
Or computer.
I don't see any listing in the Suffolk phone book.
Yeah, you know what it's listed under? It's listed under, you have to look under Fisher's Island as a separate directory all by itself.
Oh, really?
Yeah, it's in the directory. It's under, after the last listings of Fisher, last William, then it has separate listings just for Fisher Island itself.
Oh, really?
Yeah, it's a pretty exclusive area.
Yeah, we're doing some research on it.
Okay, the only number they have, though, is their fire emergency calls, which is 788. Oh, wait a minute, here's other listings under Fisher's Island Fire Department. Let's see, ambulance to report a fire. Let me give you the house quarters, which is 788. Yeah, off the minute, here from the minute.
Okay.
Yeah, it's a little island all by itself, and it's like a community in itself. It's mostly wealthy people that have a lot of money.
I see.
They have a country club. They have a little town with their own stores and library and shopping centers and their own little telephone corporation.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, because I was wondering how come we dialed this number several times, the island, and the call showed up on our long-distance bill. Portion of the bill.
Oh, I see.
Yeah, it's very interesting. Well, is there any way I can get a Fisher's Island phone book?
Oh, sure. You could dial. It's right in your book. It's right in your Suffolk directory.
Oh, it's right in there.
Yeah, look in your Suffolk residence directory. Regular white pages.
Right.
Well, is it white? Are the Suffolk books white also? I know I'm Suffolk County directory's white. The regular pages. Just look up the word Fisher's, F-I-S-H-E-R-S Island. And under Fisher's Island, there should be a whole separate, listing in the directory.
Because
in other words, Fisher's Island is in the Suffolk directory, but it's under the word Fisher's Island, and it's in a little area all by itself.
I see. I'll have to look for that then.
And then everything is categorized underneath,
Uh-huh. Okay. Well, thank you very much then.
Okay, right. Bye-bye.
Have a good night.
You too. Bye-bye.
Okay, bye. Yes, hi. My name's Mike Uhas from WUSB Radio in Stony Brook.
Pardon?
My name's Mike Uhas from WUSB Radio in Stony Brook.
Uh-huh.
This isn't your emergency number, is it?
No, it's not.
Okay. We're doing some research on Fisher's Island. We've never visited Fisher's Island, and we'd like to do just a quick little story on its people and its culture and that kind of thing. Am I speaking to somebody who's a Fisher's Island resident?
Yeah.
All right. How long have you lived in Fisher's Island?
I lived here 26 years.
26 years?
Yeah.
Were you born there?
Yeah, I was born in New London Memorial Hospital, Lawrence Mile.
But you've basically...
I was raised here.
I see. Is there a hospital on Fisher's Island?
There used to be at one time, I believe, back in the 40s, I guess, when Fort H.G. Wright was originated out here. That was a little before my time.
Fort H.G. Wright.
Yeah, and they had a hospital, I believe, out here at one time.
Uh-huh.
I really couldn't.
So what do you do with your emergency cases now? Do you just take them over to Connecticut?
We have an ambulance boat, 35-foot, that we use for transport from here to New London.
Mm-hmm.
And we use...
How long is the trip?
It's roughly, depending weather-wise. Out here, it's kind of hard to, you know, figure the weather, but it's usually about a 15 to 20-minute ride.
Uh-huh. And you folks, you do live in Suffolk County, though, right?
This is part of Southfold Town, yeah. Suffolk County. It's a Southfold Town.
Yeah. Uh-huh. But you're actually closer to Connecticut, though, right?
That's correct.
Mm. How far are you from, say, Greenport or Orient Point?
Orient Point? I think we're about 15 miles from Orient Point.
And how many miles from New London?
And we're roughly about 5 to 6, I would say. From New London, Connecticut.
I see. And I hear you have your own private telephone company there and everything.
That's correct.
Hmm. That's very interesting. That's very interesting. See, we're doing some research and just calling up various people at random. And we just happened to call you. And you've lived there. Now, what do you do besides being a... I see.
And at the present time here, I'm at the firehouse. I'm a member of the fire department, which is volunteer.
Uh-huh.
And we have a beer fest going on here.
How many people live on Fisher's Island?
The population right about now, the native people, it's probably 2 to 250 people.
Mm-hmm.
And the summer months, it gets from 3 to 4,000 people that live out here.
Oh. Is it a fairly exclusive area?
Somewhat. Yeah, it is.
Except when winter comes around, right?
Right. Right.
That's typical. Mm-hmm. All right. I can't think of too much else then. It's just been a real pleasure talking with you, sir.
All right.
Okay, well, thank you very much.
Very good.
Okay, good night.
Bye.
Hello. Very, very interesting, Mike.
Yes.
Talked to several people on Fisher's Island earlier this evening.
The numbers have been reversed.
Yeah. Now,
to protect the innocent.
We should have explained that before, I guess, in case you wonder what that crazy sound was every time a price or a telephone number was mentioned. Yes, we did turn them around.
Yeah, we didn't really want to mention them on the air, you know.
No, that innocent people won't be harassed or certain
things. Or even guilty people. We don't want to harass them.
We don't want to harass anybody except ourselves, which is what we're trained for.
I don't know if I like the sound of that, right?
Fisher's Island, I'd like to go out there, I really would. Mm-hmm. The only way to get out there, though, is to go, there are several ways, but the way for us would be to go out to Orient Point, take the ferry to New London, then from New London, take another ferry to Fisher's Island.
That's absolutely correct, or else you could drive all the way to New London and take the ferry to Fisher's Island from there.
That's kind of crazy.
Or you could take the Port Jeff Bridgeport
ferry. Oh, yeah, you could do that.
Mm-hmm.
To Bridgeport, then take that to...
You could take a train from Bridgeport to New London.
Yeah.
And then take the ferry, and then take the train on Fisher's Island to wherever you want to go.
Or you could swim there.
Yeah. Or you could aeroplane or a private boat.
Well, now, from what we have seen, or heard of it, rather, let's try to describe to ourselves what we think it's like, and then we'll go there one day, and then we'll describe what it really is like.
Let's have a radio-free weekend field trip.
Yeah, that sounds good to me. We'll
invite all of our listener.
Take a little tape recorder with us or something. Record on the scene at mm-hmm. Fisher's Island. I think it's did you get an idea of how big it is?
No, I didn't really.
All right, from what I remember on a map...
Big enough to hold 3,000, 4,000 people in the summertime.
That's surprising. I didn't think it would be able to hold that many.
Mm-hmm.
It's not that big. They say it has shopping centers. I don't know if there's one or many. I guess it would be sort of like just a very small part of Long Island, sort of maybe the Three Village area or something.
Yeah, around the size of Fisher's
Island.
of course it would be around the size of Fisher's Island. probably around the size of Shelter Island or something like that.
Yeah, very interesting island.
Mm.
And so the thing that drew me to that island was that it's so cut off and mysterious.
Yeah, I was reading not too long ago, well, around the turn of the year, how New York State motor vehicles, the downstate counties, residents, drivers had to have their automobiles inspected for emissions.
Oh, what a pain that is.
Yeah, I know.
I passed the flying colors, but...
So did I.
Oh,
yeah.
Well, some people might not have.
Well, so. Anyhow... what these people in Fisher's Island had to do, because no garage on Fisher's Island had a one of those sophisticated meters.
They are sophisticated.
They truly are. They tell you many different things.
Yeah. I don't know if that's true, but they tell you something.
they'd have to drive, take the ferry over, which cost them many dollars, to Connecticut, drive to New York somewhere, or take the ferry back to Orient Point or something, and... get their car inspected, and it would cost more than $12, basically, the point.
Wait,
was.
They had to take the ferry from Fisher's Island over to Connecticut, then drive through Connecticut to New York again?
Or take the ferry back to Orient Point, if you wish, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. That's crazy.
Yeah, it is, yeah.
I'm not sure, did they have a school on that island?
I believe they did, yeah.
There's one island, I think it's Shelter Island, I'm kind of confused out there, Blanc Island, Shelter Island. There's one where you have to... go take a ferry to go to school.
Oh, really?
A school ferry, they call it.
Really?
Yeah.
Well, I was in Shelter Island not all that long ago.
Every time it rains, they cancel school.
Oh?
Yeah.
Why?
Well, it rains heavily.
Oh.
You know, when there's an advisory on for Long Island waters at this time, they...
Well, there are no warnings or advisories for Long Island waters, the Long Island Sound, the Long Island South Shore Bay area at the present time.
Okay, so you could go to school then.
Oh.
on whatever island that is. I don't know which one it is, but one of those. There are a few.
Why would anybody want to go to school at 12:52 in the evening?
12:54 is what I have in this room.
Well, your clock is different. I'm not going to say it's wrong. Well, why don't you call up on the...
It's funny because the other clock in this room says 12:53.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah. Interesting. You wouldn't happen to be calling the time by any chance, would you?
Yeah. Is it... Okay, I think I remember what the number is.
Whoopsie.
Screwed that one up.
Well, that's because certainly did.
That's because the phone is way up there, and I'm not.
You certainly aren't way up there. That is for certain. Feels to be a record skipping. Is that in your room, Mike? Or is that
no,
my room?
I think it must be in your room.
Oh, there it is. We got it. We shouldn't have to do this.
Good morning. At the tone, the time will be 12:53 and 50 seconds.
Sounds like
who?
It sounds like
good
a sort of in the middle.
At the tone, the time will be 12:54. Exactly.
Well, my clock in here is 1 minute and 10 seconds slow.
My clock says 12:55.
The time will be 12:54.
But then again, who cares? I don't know. Let's get rid of her.
Bye.
Goodbye.
Getting back to Fisher's Island, though.
By ferry.
Yeah.
It's interesting. In Shelter Island, there's two ferries. There's the North Ferry and the South Ferry.
Well, of course, that's in the Peconic Bay, isn't it?
Right.
It's sort of stuck between the North
and the South Fork.
So, what if you want to go just plain west?
Do you know what the main street is called in Shelter Island?
What?
It's called Ferry Road.
I figured it would be called.
And actually, it's divided into two sections. The one is North Ferry Road
and one is
South Ferry Road, yeah.
Very predictable.
Don't you think so?
But there's a lot of the island we have not seen that's not really, you know, literally a part of the island, but legally it is.
Mm-hmm.
Even though it's closer to Connecticut, it's part of
New York. You heard the man at the firehouse. It is in Southold Town, so...
Now, they must have all sorts of problems with mail and... telephones, all sorts
of things.
You know,
I believe the Fisher's Island Post Office has a zip code that begins with a zero digit, just like all the Connecticut zip codes.
Well, that's interesting.
It is. All of Long Island all begin with one, right?
Yeah. Now, does that mean that they have to pay Connecticut income tax or
no,
that type of thing?
Yeah, I wouldn't think it would mean that.
I'm sure the boundaries get crossed somewhere.
Yeah. That's a very interesting, very interesting point.
Well, that's very, very clever of you, Mike. But I have something here that I think will beat that.
Oh?
Yeah, and this is not going to be on tape. This is going to be live.
In the studio.
In the studios, right here and now.
Uh-huh.
Now, I've done a little bit of homework, too, over the last week, and I've uncovered something that I think it will surprise quite a few people.
Including me and you as well.
Guess what, folks?
Well, it's just about 1 o'clock in the morning.
No, we are not alone. That's right. I'm not referring to that UFO that they saw over Riverhead.
No, it wasn't a UFO.
It was... you should have suspected it wasn't a UFO because the report that I heard was that it went down Route 24 and then turned left on onto 495.
And, in the corner of Route 112 and 24.
Yeah, UFOs don't usually follow roads. They go where they want to go. Where did that turn out to be? A plane of some sort?
Yes, with an advertising message on the bottom, all sorts of lights.
When will we ever learn? I saw one of those and I almost got into an accident.
Right, I saw one for an automobile dealership. I think it was the same one you saw. We were talking about this a couple of months ago on the show.
Yeah. All I can say is whenever you see something like that, tell all your friends not to buy anything there. That's the only way we're going to get rid of this.
That's very true.
Find the real UFOs if there are any.
Yeah.
But no, that's not what I mean when I say we're not alone. What I mean is Long Island is not alone.
In the United States.
True. There is, my friends, another Long Island.
Da-dun-da-da-da.
That's right.
Time for the ominous music.
Do you want to know where that Long Island is? It's in another state.
Which state? The state of consciousness?
No, the state of Tennessee.
It's to Tennessee.
There's a city called Kingsport, yeah. And it's very close to that. It's a very small town.
Now, isn't Long Island in Tennessee an unincorporated area?
It's an unincorporated village.
Mm-hmm.
It's got a population of about 1,500 people.
Oh, well, that's not so small. It's bigger than the year-round population of Fisher's Island.
That may be so. But it was quite a hassle getting through to Fisher's Island. I found out a little bit about Long Island here. Not very much, just a little bit. Found out that it's an historical district.
Mm-hmm.
It's been around for quite a while. I'm not sure how they got the name of it, seeing as how it's not even an island. They have a river on one side.
Oh, is it long?
I don't know about that either.
Mm-hmm.
They've got something called a swinging river bridge.
Oh.
That leads to it.
Sounds like something you'd see in Monty Python and the Holy Grail.
Yeah, very possibly. Now, Mike, I'm going to call up the sheriff's office over in Kingsport, which is right next to Long Island in Tennessee. And while I'm dialing, you talk to the folks, and I'll be back in just a few seconds.
Okay. Well, any minute now, I'll see the light up on the telephone. It just lit up, and Eric's going to be dialing. He said sheriff in Tennessee. And... Well, it is just about 1 o'clock, and you're tuned to WUSB Stony Brook, Radio Free Long Island, continuous record skipping with Eric Corley, the other guy dialing the phone, and myself, Mike Uhas. We didn't really have a chance to introduce ourselves. For some reason, we always forget. Until usually.
Yes, we do. We're back. Seems to be redialing the number for us.
I'll patch it through in here. It'll sound better.
Sheriff Barton Gaiman.
Good evening. Is this the sheriff's office in Kingsport, Tennessee?
It's the sheriff's office in Sullivan County. We cover Kingsport.
Okay. This is the non-emergency line, I hope.
Yes, go ahead.
Okay. I'm just calling from radio station WUSB in Stony Brook, New York. We just have a couple of questions about a place over there called Long Island. Have you heard of it?
Yes, it's in Sullivan County.
Could you tell us just a little bit about that town?
It's not a town, it's just a little community.
I see. How little? How many people live there?
I don't have any idea.
How long has it been around?
How long has Long Island been around? As long as Sullivan County has? Ever since the Indians.
Ever since the Indians, huh?
Yeah.
Very interesting. Now, this is a small historical section, you say?
Uh-huh.
Not really a community of any sort.
Hold on a minute. I'll let you talk to a lieutenant here, okay?
Okay, fine. Thank you very much.
Well, that sounds good.
Hi, I'm just going to help you. Yes, good evening. My name's Eric Corley, and I'm calling from radio station WUSB in Stony Brook, New York. We live on a place that we call Long Island, and we're just curious about this other place that you have down there called Long Island.
Uh-huh.
I was hoping you could just give us a little bit of background information on it.
Well, don't know much about it. As the Indians settled on it back in the old days, now it belongs to the Eastman Corporation. Tennessee Eastman.
It belongs to a corporation?
Yeah, now it does. They bought about all of it out. There's still a few houses there, but they own the most of it.
Uh-huh. Where did it get its name from?
I guess it was named back in the old days for the Indians, I guess. I don't know. It's just an island.
Oh, it is an island?
Uh-huh.
What surrounds it?
Rivers.
Oh, I see. And how big in landmass would you say it is?
How big area do you say it is? It's not big at all. I'd say 5 acres or so would cover the whole thing, or maybe 10, not over 10 acres.
Oh, how about that? And it's right next to Kingsport, is that right?
Right, it's in Kingsport.
Oh, it's in Kingsport.
Right. Well, it's right outside of the city limits, Kingsport. It's just outside of it.
Is it a wealthy section?
No, I don't think it's that wealthy. Eastman's buying out most of the homes there.
What do they plan to do with it?
I don't know. Unless they're just going to use it for, some of their projects or something. I really don't know. I just heard Eastman was buying out a lot of it.
I see. That's kind of sad, I guess. Well, we want to thank you for filling us in on that. And thank you very much, and have yourself a good night.
All right, sir.
Take care.
Uh-huh.
Well, Mike.
Well, Eric.
Yeah, what do you think of
all that? The way to Long Island.
Yeah.
You know, I also heard that there's another Long Island somewhere else in the country.
There might be. And we're giving a reward to anybody else who finds more Long Islands. That's one of them right there.
And if you give us any information leading to their arrest.
when we go on the...
And conviction, of course.
The USB National Tour, which should be soon, we're going to take a trip down to that Long Island and any other Long Islands we find.
Mm-hmm.
And see just what, you know, that's kind of sad that a corporation is buying out the entire town, and it's called Long Island.
Well, it's big business, you know, big bucks.
Yeah.
You know, they have all this money that they just throw around all over the place, and they kind of talk really posh like this, you know.
That's for sure.
Yeah, Thurston Howell.
It was kind of scary, actually, hearing him say that the Eastman Corporation is buying out all the homes on Long Island. When you hear people say Long Island, it just doesn't, you know, gel in your mind that it's actually another place somewhere else.
Yes, yes.
It was very nice of those people in the sheriff's department over in Kingsport, Tennessee, to give us a call like that. And no, they didn't give us a call. To answer our call like that.
Sure.
And fill us in. I hope we'll do the same for them someday when they want to find out about us.
As if we have records skipping in the background.
We don't have records skipping right now. We do have records running. And
what do we have?
Well, this one coming up at 1:05 in the evening.
In the morning.
In the morning, I'm sorry.
In the morning. In the morning.
At 73 degrees.
No. What is it?
23 degrees Celsius. Okay, the record we have right now is by Public Image, by request. And we will have the tripods coming up shortly after that. Sure. Pop tripod just walked in. Well,
hey, Pop, how's it going?
We'll be getting to all sorts of other things later on, too. Give us a call over here at the radio station, 516-246-7901. And tell us anything that's on your mind. If you're from Fisher's Island, the offer still stands. You'll win a valuable prize if you call us from Fisher's Island.
How valuable is it?
There still might be time to take a ferry over to New London, take a ferry back to Fisher's Island, and call us up before we go off at 3 o'clock. And
yeah,
hence, claim your valuable prize.
Mm-hmm.
So, it's worth it. Give it a try. Public Image.
Hi, gang, this is Spunky.
And Spunky, say, a lot of you kids out there are really fat, and we know how hard it is to lose those stubborn pounds.
So Spunky and I have discovered a new miracle diet by pure accident, but it works so peachy keen that we have to share it with you.
Now here's a precaution, kids. This diet can only be followed for 5 days. Otherwise, serious damage may occur.
On the first day, stuff a wad of long underwear down the toilet and keep flushing until the pipes are well stuffed.
On the second day, run the washing machine with a full load until all your drains back up.
On the third day, try and ream some of the muck out of your clogged pipes by hand.
On the fourth day, remove your toilet and run the washing machine again until you have a major sewage flood.
On the fifth day, mop up the raw sewage on your hands and knees. This aforementioned miracle plan is the best appetite suppressant known to modern science.
And by the time you've paid Mr. Plumberman to fix everything up, you won't be able to afford food. So this is Spunky.
And Bunky saying, don't put blasting caps in the toilet.
Yes, some really handy-dandy advice from our good friends Bunky and Spunky. Bunky and Spunky can be heard here on Radio Free Long Island from time to time. They make their appearance on this program at least once a week. On this program, at least. We're getting a lot of telephone calls from people with details about other Long Islands, and we'll be passing them to you along pretty shortly. Yeah, the tripods are coming up and having all sorts of neat fun, so stay tuned and don't go away. And Jethro Burns is here, and he's just about ready to play for you.
Okay, here we go. Ready?
Thank you.
Eric, are you there? Apparently Eric's not here.
Yes, I am, actually. I'm in the other room here.
Yes, we can't see one another.
No, we can't. We don't know what's going on.
I can see Rob Zeiser.
Rob Zeiser is the go-between here. He'll be the go-after after we leave at 3 o'clock.
And you can see him, and I can see him. So he'll like, relay hand signals.
I can also see that big, huge fan that I found out it was you that moved it up here.
Oh, well, no, you weren't supposed to say anything like that.
Oh.
We're talking about Rob Zeiser, and he's only hearing half of your conversation, and he doesn't know what's going on.
He doesn't hear you, right, but he hears me.
Uh-huh.
But since I did bring up the fan, and since you don't want to talk about it, let's talk about it. No, I mentioned it last week.
It was very, very humid and hot in the studio on Sunday.
Yeah, it was. I just was trying to figure out how you managed to get that big fan up here all by yourself.
No, I didn't. I had Jim Lantier to help me out.
Oh, okay, that'll do it then.
Yes, and it did.
That fan is twice the size of any normal human being, I think.
And it is a pretty humongous fan, if you'll excuse the much-used and over-abused expression.
About 50 times the size of Otis.
No, I'd say a lot more, bigger than Otis.
We haven't talked about Otis for a while. In fact, we didn't talk about him since midnight, I think.
We've gotten some phone calls about different Long Islands.
About different Long Islands?
Yes.
Where are different Long Islands right now?
Well, there's one in the Bahamas.
Mm-hmm.
There's one in New Hampshire.
Ooh.
on or right near Lake Winnipesaukee.
Is that so? I went up there once, twice actually.
Did you really?
Yeah, I never saw Long Island when I was up there.
And then there's one in the Outer Hebrides in Scotland.
In Scotland?
Mm-hmm.
Well, I can say for sure, I think we'll get to each and every one of those and find out what they're all like.
Well, I don't know about the one in Scotland.
Yeah, why not? Why not? Let's, we'll be adventurous. We'll see what happens.
Well, you take the boats over.
I guess
when I first came to Brookhaven Town, way, hey, 90.1, there was no good music to be heard around. Way, hey, 90.1. Then one day I turned on the dial. Way, hey, 90.1. There I found music to make me smile.
Way, hey, 90.1.
I waited for a
diggle-a-dee.
Way, hey, 90.1. The
90.1.
DJ said WUSB.
Way, hey, 90.1.
We start each day with the rising sun.
Way, hey, 90.1.
Don't ever finish till after day is done.
Way, hey, 90.1.
So if you want good music to hear.
Way, hey, 90.1.
There's a station in Stony Brook you ought to hear.
Where?
Way, hey, 90.1.
So if you like the sounds, do take a look.
Way, hey, 90.1.
At WUSB
Stony. How can we take a look? It's on radio. Also, Mike, that song
No,
is
only because it rhymes. And I know it's wrong because we're on 24 hours a day.
Right. I didn't know just by two words I was going to say that. That song does not apply. It's correct.
Because I say that each time I play that. Yes, I truly do. Yes, it doesn't apply because Rob Zeiser is an overnight man, one of seven overnight people here at the radio station, and he'll be carrying you through. Oh, I'm sorry, I turned you down.
You turned me off. Why are you doing that?
I turned down the wrong knob. I was wondering if you weren't saying anything.
I can't even gesture because I can't see you. Well, you have total control here, don't you?
Oh, the fun we have.
Before the suffering I have to go through over here.
Yeah, that's true.
Sitting alone in a room all by myself, I can't even talk when I want to.
Well, would
anymore.
You rather be sitting on the dock of the bay as Otis Redding?
Let's talk about Otis again, please, because we owe it to him.
Well, nature's call has beckoned him.
Twice already on the windowsill.
Plus once on the rug there, too.
And once in the newsroom.
Yeah.
Four times, Otis. Number five, you're out. No, we have a pigeon here who Mike found coming up to the station earlier on this evening, who apparently has been banded on his left foot, I guess.
Well, one of his... I guess it would
it's
be.
It's right as we look at it, and left as he does.
Is it now?
It could
no,
be a
it,
she.
No, it's the left as we look at it. So would he?
Oh,
it would be his right foot.
His right foot, then.
As opposed to his right arm.
Okay, it's a little silver band, and it goes around his foot. Somebody did that. Now, Mike, you said, kind of coincidentally, that you saw somebody releasing pigeons today. Is that true?
That's very true. I'm not sure whether it was this morning or yesterday morning, but I do remember on the way to work, seeing somebody release pigeons off of Nesconset Highway.
Now, I don't know what that looks like. How does somebody releasing pigeons, I mean...
Well, it looked like he was releasing pigeons. He was just...
From what?
Out of his
hands?
Car, yeah. Well, I didn't see the pigeons because I think it was today. I was sitting in the back seat of my carpool's car, and he was looking up in the air, and I was trying to see what he was looking at, but it was obscured by trees. So this may be one of his pigeons.
Could be. Well, folks, if you know anybody who flies pigeons, that's what the saying is, or if you might know where this pigeon comes from, or if you indeed have a pigeon that is missing, give us a call.
It's a very nice pigeon.
It
is very nice pigeon.
Very, very nice attitude he has.
I wouldn't know about that. We're going to have to clean up after him.
Yes, but he's peaceful.
That's true. He doesn't say a word.
Very complacent.
Yes. Another thing I wanted to mention about this pigeon was I called up several places, including one of those. Luckily I have the phone book here. I can remember what it was. It was a refuge, the wartime refuge in Shirley or Mastic or something like that. And they said that they banned wild birds, but since this pigeon is not a wild bird, they wouldn't have banned it this.
Pigeons aren't wild, they're domestic.
That's right. They were imported by Europeans about 200 years ago.
But for all intents and purposes, they are wild because, I mean...
No, not all of them. Not all. Oh, there's somebody calling. Ask Rob to answer the phone.
Rob, please answer the phone. Thank you. Well, it's kind of funny because the pigeons in Central Park, I mean, are you saying they're domestic? If they're domestic, that means
they're not owned
by somebody and operated by small. No, you know, taken care of. Well, they are taken care of. I guess they're owned by the citizens of New York City.
Well, they're not really
sort of
wild.
Like the government and radio
stations. They're not really wild. They're not really domestic either, but they just happen to be like rats, you know. I mean, rats aren't really wild animals. When you think of game, you tend to think of the jungles of Kenya and Togo and Bhutan,
yeah,
and Duluth and Detroit. But I guess there's plenty of pigeons in Detroit, and maybe Duluth. I was in Duluth once. I don't remember seeing any pigeons, but then again, it was...
It always struck me as rather strange how pigeons always seem to know where the cities are, and they all look the same. Like, I went up to Montreal,
but this doesn't look
and there
like
were New York City pigeons there. New York City pigeons in Washington,
and
Boston.
And Philadelphia, too.
Philadelphia, even in... someone told me Topeka, Kansas. I'm not sure about that.
Oh, boy.
Yeah. And once or twice I saw a couple hanging out in the academic mall here at Stony Brook as if they're trying to start something.
Huh.
Who knows? Maybe in a few years we'll have a whole flock of pigeons and people can go around feeding them, bread and stuff while they look at the zebras.
Yeah, well, this one wouldn't eat our bread, so. Say, listen, you know, what's coming up in 15 minutes?
Speaking of Topeka, Don Topeka is coming up.
Well,
he's coming up before 15 minutes.
Right.
With the tripods.
So don't go away for the tripod. Stay tuned for the tripod.
In 15 minutes, we have, what, the news?
That's absolutely true.
The news of the day.
The news of the day.
And after that?
Our classic album side, which we haven't yet determined what it's going to be this week.
Well, a lot of people have been giving us suggestions. You still have time to give us more suggestions if there's an album side that...
If you particularly want to hear and you have a good reason for hearing it.
Yeah, not that it's a popular album so much as that it has some sort of either special meaning to you, significant meaning to humankind or anything like that.
We could always play an album side by Otis Redding.
We could do that.
Otis Spann or Johnny Otis.
That would have significance tonight because Otis is still sitting in the library. He's sleeping rather peacefully.
Maybe we'll play an album side by the Byrds.
Well, that'd be good for Otis. We could sort of bring it up in the library,
mm-hmm.
and he would be very peaceful.
Meantime,
but
I have
our
music.
Listeners wouldn't like it.
Yeah, that's true. But meantime, I have some music here for you.
Well, what about if there's some birds in the audience?
Well, that's true, too. Suppose, you know, that's... you run your mouth, and I'll run my business, you know, that kind of thing. This is from Joe Jackson from his new album.
Jumpin' Jazz. No, Jumpin' Jazz.
Big heads keep beating up your chops. How to turn you over to the cops. The biggest spiel I'm gonna lay on your gate. Don't cop your broom.
Mouth and I run my business, brother. You run your mouth and I run my business, brother. You tell everybody I'm busted. You talk so much you got me disgusted. You run your mouth and I run my business, brother. Yeah, you run your mouth and I run my business, brother. You run your mouth and I run my business, brother. You start up telling me you're my pal, end up telling me how to handle my gal. You run your mouth and I run my business, brother. You run your juicy mouth and I run my business, brother. Run your juicy mouth and I run my business, brother. You always telling me what to do, saying I wouldn't do that if I was you. You run your mouth and I run my business, brother. Run your mouth and I run my business, brother. You tell everybody I'm busted. You talk so much you got me disgusted. You run your mouth and I run my business, brother.
Jealousy the blessings from flow. They come to your house to see how you live. Misery needs company in order to be.
With the Three Village Tobacco Farms presents the dramatic adventures of the Tripod Family, the story of one of America's most illustrious families and their struggle to find peace and happiness in the suburbs of Long Island. When we left our friends last week, Howard and Kathy had just remembered that the house that they had lived in is no longer theirs. And now, as we join them with Charlie and Pop, we hear... You know, it sort of takes all the fun out of coming home when you find out that you no longer have a home.
Yes, I realize that, Howard. And I feel just awful about renting out our house like that. It's a stupid thing for me to do, and I'm really...
No, but don't be like that, Kathy. It wasn't really your fault.
Oh, yeah.
Now, that slimy Uncle Jonathan of yours put those crazy ideas into your head. We should have never listened to him.
Speaking of Uncle Jonathan, where in the world did he disappear to? He was just here a minute. He was standing over there.
Yeah, who knows? Who cares? He could be an out of Mongolia now, for all I care.
Well, I guess he just left as mysteriously as he arrived. Yeah, but that's neither here nor there. We've got to find a place to live.
Okay, folks, everything's all set.
What's all set, Charlie?
All right, I just got off the phone with my cousin Herb. He's a real estate broker, and he says he has a whole bunch of houses that would be just perfect for your family.
Really? Oh, that's great.
Hey, how about that? Oh, maybe today won't be such a disaster after all.
Well, I never even knew you're coming as a real estate broker, Charlie.
Oh, no?
Oh, yeah, but then again, I didn't even know you had a cousin. So that probably explains it.
Yeah, I guess so. Oh, there you are, Mr. Tripod. Well, where have you been?
Oh, none of your God-blasted business, Charlie. Can I do anything without having to give a detailed account to the whole world?
Don't mind him, Charlie. Pop seems to be a little bit cranky today.
I think he must have gotten up on the wrong side of the bed this morning.
So what else is new?
I didn't even have a bed. Tully made me sleep in an old sleeping bag.
Well, I didn't have anything else, Mr. Tripod. What was I supposed to do?
Let's just stop all that bickering. You ought to be ashamed of yourself, Pop. Charlie didn't have to put you up in his house while Howard and I were away.
That's right. He did it because he wanted to.
Yeah, he likes seeing people suffer.
Now, that's about enough, all right? Now, Charlie, when can we see this real estate cousin of yours?
Oh, yes, we'd like to find a house as soon as possible.
Well, he can see you as early as tomorrow, if that's what you want.
Well, that's fine with me. How about you, Howard?
Couldn't be better. The sooner we find a place and get everything around here back to normal, the better for everyone.
Hear, hear.
Oh, I feel a lot better already.
Oh, I still feel terrible. But nobody cares about me anyway.
I feel hungry, that's all I know. Does anybody want anything to eat around here?
Oh, Charlie, how good of you. I know what I'd like. In fact, I've had a sort of a craving for it ever since I left Big Bear City.
What's that, Kathy?
Well, remember when we got married and we used to go to that restaurant on Roosevelt Island?
Oh, yes. That was way back.
Yes, yes. Well, I'd like some of that that roast squab, you know, the marinara sauce.
Yeah, I remember that.
And I'd like...
Exquisite little place that was.
Yes, it was. I'd like some of that. And with a side order of shrimp and hash browns.
Oh, yes. You always wear one for the hash browns. Oh. I was thinking more along the lines of some of that shish kebab, you know, like they sell in the park on those sticks.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, that would be really something. With that sauce, what do you... Oh, what was that sauce?
Barbecue?
No, it wasn't barbecue. It was barbecued. It was barbecue, but it wasn't barbecue
sauce.
Wasn't
it that new stuff, that barbecue cucumber sauce?
No, that wasn't it. You know what that is. It was, if I can only remember. Oh, I know what it was. It was tartar sauce, that's it.
Oh, tartar sauce. Well, yeah. That's very good.
Yes, it is. Well, what do you want, Pop?
A sirloin steak would be pretty nice. I prefer mushroom sauce and a bottle of cold wine.
Oh, wait a minute.
How does that sound?
Wait a minute. I think I'm just going to go out and order a pizza. And so Howard, Charlie, Pop, and Kathy discuss the Tripod's plans for their new home. Where will it be, and what will come of it? You'll want to be with us next time when we'll hear Charlie say,
I should know better than to ask you people anything.
That's next time on the Tripod Family, a conglomeration of Radio Free Long Island and the Three Village Tobacco Farms. This is Don Topeka.
Well, it's 157, 73 degrees Fahrenheit. That's 23 degrees Celsius. Time now for a look at the latest news.
Excuse me, before we start the news, I just would like to apologize to our listeners in case they thought that, well, it's kind of unfortunate, I guess, that the Tripod's decided to have squab this week when we have a pigeon here.
Yeah.
There's no connection, please.
No, not
whatsoever. Oh, Mike, I hope the listeners can help us out a little bit, because it seems that the...
Which one?
The pizza place that we always call is either closed, or they're not answering their phones, or they're playing a nasty trick on us, but we're starving to death here.
So if anybody wants to bring up a pizza or fried rice and...
Anything.
Yes.
Anything at all.
Anything to eat, and plenty of stuff to... Oh! I just remembered I have a soda in the refrigerator
still.
Well,
it's like I do as much good with nothing to have it with.
Well, I don't care.
We have to survive too, folks. We're people, we're not just voices.
We're not unionized. We don't have anything in our contract that stipulates that we have to have a pizza, but it's tradition, and we don't have one yet. Anyway, it's time now for a look at the latest news.
It's not 157 anymore.
It's 158 in here.
Here's the news.
Chaos could soon return to the nation's transatlantic air routes. Only, this time, it's the Portuguese air traffic controllers, not Canadians, who are planning a protest because of the strike by their American counterparts. A controller at the Lisbon airport says Portuguese controllers who will refuse to handle American flights for a 48-hour period beginning Sunday night at 8 Eastern Daylight Time, EDT. Most transatlantic flights using a southern route to the U.S. are handled by a Portuguese control center in the Azores Islands. Here at home, Controllers Union President Robert Poli says he'll ask a federal labor panel to ignore a recommendation that his union be decertified. An administrative law judge made that recommendation Friday, citing PATCO's support for the illegal traffic controllers walkout. An Associated Press NBC News poll shows President Reagan riding on the crest of a new wave of popularity. 63% of those polled said Reagan's doing an excellent or good job. In contrast, only 35% gave Congress such a high rating. A top Reagan administration official says the White House request to sell Saudi Arabia AWACS radar jets will go to Capitol Hill in little over a week. The administration is hoping the Saudi role in working out a ceasefire in southern Lebanon will improve chances for congressional passage of the AWACS sale. Many members of Congress are on record as opposing the sale, and so are top Israeli leaders. A decision to whether to go ahead on with the sale of jet fighters to Israel could be made by President Reagan next week. The president is taking a break from his vacation, heading to Los Angeles Monday for a week of meetings with top staffers. Other items on next week's agenda, what to do about production of the B-1 bomber and the MX missiles. Eric?
Well, a few hours from now, new spraying against a Mediterranean fruit fly will be getting underway in California, this time in a 30-square-mile section of the fertile San Joaquin Valley. The director of the MedFly Eradication Program expects the new infestation to force a federal quarantine of farm products in an 81-square-mile area. And experts say they're concerned that winds could spread MedFlies throughout the valley. A New England utility took a dam constructed on the Merrimack River back in 1848, built a new powerhouse, and came up with one of the nation's most advanced hydroelectric plants. The $28 million project will be dedicated this weekend in Lawrence, Massachusetts. Officials say the new plant is the most advanced hydroelectric project to be built in the United States with American-made equipment in the past decade. About 300 striking air traffic controllers dropped their picket signs and lifted their wine glasses Friday in a toast to celebrate the wedding of a colleague. The ceremony took place in the secluded Union Hall in Hollis, New Hampshire. Controllers Union Chief Robert Poli sent a telegram to mark the occasion. It read in part, quote, "The strength and unity of this marriage reaffirms our resolve in the strike," unquote. Mike?
And just a moment ago, you mentioned a story about the MedFly. Did you not?
I certainly did.
Well, Suffolk Health Commissioner David Harris says that mosquito spraying on federal parklands in the county would be unnecessary if the federal officials allowed the clearing of ditches in the area. According to Dr. Harris, clearing the ditches keeps water moving and eliminates the breeding grounds of the mosquitoes. He says employees of the county's Bureau of Vector Control could do the ditching by hand to minimize disruption in the parklands, but he adds that federal officials have regularly denied county requests to do that work. 2 weeks ago, the U.S. Department of Interior reversed a former policy prohibiting aerial spraying on federal lands on Long Island and issued the county permits to spray a chemical, Dibrom-14, at the 200-acre Seatuck Memorial National Wildlife Refuge in Islip and the Wertheim Estate in Brookhaven. I was speaking to some people there today, in fact. The permits were issued after two Long Island congressmen, William Carney, a conservative Republican from Hopog, and Tom Downey, a Democrat from Amityville, lobbied the Interior Department to issue them
after the congressman received a flood of telephone calls from residents complaining about mosquitoes. County officials say complaints from citizens around SeaTuck after the county sprayed there last week. According to Dr. Harris, there will be no spraying at wartime unless there are many more complaints about mosquitoes from nearby residents. Dr. Harris stresses he would prefer ditching to spraying. The spraying has been attacked by Suffolk environmental groups as unnecessary and dangerous to fish and wildlife. Arok?
The word is mosquitoes, Mike, not mosquitoes.
Mosquitoes, yes.
Mosquitoes. Big difference.
Not really.
Yes.
No.
Well, speaking of all that, the town of Islip says it has issued 11 summonses to bioclinical laboratories alleging unlawful storage of toxic chemicals at a company warehouse in Bohemia.
Da, 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 da. On Central Avenue, I'll bet.
Assistant town attorney Stephen Lato says that the summonses followed an unannounced visit to the warehouse at 380 Central Avenue by Islip inspectors. He says two of the inspectors reportedly became faint from toxic dust during the inspection. At the same time, a team of local, state, and federal inspectors wearing masks and protective clothing made a surprise search of a second bioclinical warehouse in Bohemia. And the officials say the two warehouses contained hundreds of pounds of toxic chemicals, including arsenic compounds, chloroform, acids, and alkalis. Sydney Fox, owner of Bioclinical, declined comment about the inspections. On July 29th, 24 firefighters were overcome by chemical fumes at the warehouse during a fire there. No summonses were issued in connection with that event. According to Suffolk County health officials, the company did hire a cleanup firm to remove chemicals at the Bohemia plant following the fire. County officials said the company has been ordered to appear at a departmental hearing Tuesday to determine if the company violated county regulation for the storage and handling of toxic chemicals. No date has been set for the hearing in Suffolk First District Court in Bayshore. The violations alleged in the 11 summonses carry fines of $250 each. Mike?
And Suffolk County Police in the 5th and 6th squads are asking for some help in finding a trio of thieves believed to be gypsies who have been preying on elderly residents in the Patchogue, Coram, Selden, and Centerreach areas. Police say that there are two women and an unknown third person who drive a bluish-green vehicle involved. Now, according to police, the vehicle stops near the house and the two women approach. While one woman engages the resident in conversation, police say the second woman manages to enter the house and steal valuables. The thefts, police say, are not discovered until later. One woman is described as between 30 and 40 years old, 5'5" tall, wearing a floppy hat and having red frizzy hair. The second woman is also between 30 and 40 years of age and wears flowered dresses and may as well be pregnant. Anyone with any information is urged to call 516-654-4400.
Eric? Did you say may as well be pregnant? Or might be pregnant?
May as well be pregnant. Not she may as well be pregnant.
I didn't understand really what the intonation there was.
Yes, well, she may as well be pregnant.
Okay, well, let's keep an eye out for them. Meanwhile, state officials trying to force the town of Islip to close its Blydenburg landfill dump in Hop Hog and resume burning garbage at its incinerator in Sayville. Donald Middleton, regional director of the State Department of Environmental Conservation, said the Blydenburg landfill is a time bomb that can pollute the air and groundwater with methane gas and vinyl chloride. That statement did come from the office here in Stony Brook. Middleton said he has asked the state attorney general to go to court to force Islip to close the dump, and he said he also wants the town to reopen a garbage incineration plant in Sayville. Besides a court order, Middleton said he seeks a $5 million fine against the town for not complying with the court consent order signed by town officials last year, promising to reopen the incinerator. Islip Town Supervisor Michael LeGrand has denied there is any hazard from methane gas or vinyl chloride at Blydenburg. LeGrand also protested that reopening the Sayville incinerator would spell the end to the town's garbage recycling program, one of the largest such projects in the nation. He said the incinerator is being used as a recycling center, and the town has no other facility large enough for that purpose. Middleton complained that the town's recycling program can handle only about 5% of the town's garbage. He said that burning waste in the Sayville incinerator could cut the garbage volume by 25%. LeGrand said things will work out if the town is given time. He said the town plans to build smaller but more sophisticated garbage incinerators at the Sayville site. He said the new incinerators would be in service by 1983, when the town expects to exhaust the landfill space at Blydenburg. Mike?
Well, I believe you have a look at the latest USB.
Oh, yes, I do,
in
fact.
Long Island weather.
Why don't you tell me what the temperature is in there?
Well, it's in here. Well, hang on a minute.
No, I didn't mean that.
Oh, in here, it's 26 degrees. That's 79 Fahrenheit. Out of doors, it's 22, 72 Fahrenheit.
72 degrees. How about that, 22? Okay, partly cloudy tonight with patchy fog, low in the 60s. Increasing clouds tomorrow with warm and humid conditions. Chance of some afternoon and nighttime showers or thunderstorms. Highs will be in the 80s. Tomorrow night, we're expecting a low of around 70 or so. Winds will be southerly, about 10 miles per hour tonight and tomorrow, increasing to 10 to 20 with possible higher gusts in thundershowers, which we might be getting tomorrow. The outlook for Sunday, chance of scattered thundershowers. High will be in the 80s. And that is the news, sports, and weather to the moment here on WUSB Stony Brook, Radio Free Weekend.
Where it's 9 minutes past the hour of
2 o'clock. And I'm Eric Corley.
I'm Mike Uhas.
It's time now for our album side, and we picked one that was kind of, I guess, appropriate because we have a pigeon in the other room.
Yes.
A pigeon named Otis, who is still trying to find out what we can do with. Any suggestions? We're still taking calls. 246-7901. Area code 516. Mike, why don't you tell us something about this album?
Well, this is Joseph Bird and the American Metaphysical Circus. This is Joe Bird and the Field Hippies, actually. Very interesting stuff that you picked out here tonight. We're going to be listening to Side 2, Gospel Music for Abraham Ruddle Bird III.
Why don't you read a little bit of what's on the back of the album?
That's what I'm doing.
Okay.
And the Southwestern Geriatrics Arts and Crafts Festival. Let's see. I see it here. There's a bunch of songs here, like called Gospel Music, the Sing-Along Song, The Elephant at the Door, Leisure World, the Sing-Along Song Reprise, and a whole bunch of other things here. Fellowship for Graduate Study in Composition. Oh, wait a minute. that's the continuation of a sentence that started below.
Yeah, it begins over there, down by the bottom left.
Oh, Joseph Bird was born in Whoville, Kentucky. He is a descendant of the famous Bird family of Virginia, and he grew up in Tucson, Arizona. During high school years, he played in country and western pop and music bands, but by the time... Oh, scared me there. By the time he entered the university...
Just a popping noise.
University of Arizona, he had begun playing vibes with a jazz group. After graduation, Bird received Stanford University's Salmit Fellowship for Graduate Study in Composition, but Bird chose to split for New York, where he had already begun listening to electronic music and meeting young, far-out Berkeley experimental composers. During his years on the New York modern music scene, Bird worked as a conductor, arranger, teacher, associate producer for a record company, and assistant to critic-composer Virgil Thompson. He was also gaining recognition as one of the leading young experimentalists, and his works were being performed from Paris to Tokyo. Then Joe Bird came out to UCLA and ended up living in one of the early Ocean Park beachfront communes with a group of Indian musicians, artists, graduate students, and hippies.
Oh, boy.
While serving as a teaching assistant at UCLA, he studied acoustics, psychology, and Indian music, but his interests inevitably returned to experimental and environmental music. By the summer of 1967, Bird had dropped out of UCLA to become once more a full-time experimental composer. and Happening producer. Remember Happening? Yeah, what's happening? Haven't I been? Well, today Joe's a recognized composer and arranger who plays electronic music, organ, electric harpsichord, and occasionally calliope. Now, that's today. This was way back then. When did this record come in?
I think there's a year on it somewhere. It looks like it came out in the 60s sometime. It's kind of ragged.
Yes, it is, but...
You probably never heard anything by...
Yeah, about 1969.
...conglomeration before.
What do you want, Rob Zeiser?
You want to move to Jack and Foss and can't get a pizza?
You're not supposed to say that name on the air.
Oh.
Anyway, Eric, should we play this thing or what?
Yes, well, I just want to tell the folks that I took a look at Otis over there in the library.
Oh, how is Otis?
He's still sleeping, but he's turned around now. Instead of facing into the library, he's facing out the window and looking down at the street below.
Good.
He's very peaceful. I turned the receiver up so he'll be able to hear this music by Mr. Bird.
Good.
Hopefully it'll do him some good. And hopefully we'll get more phone calls that'll do Otis some good.
Yes, 246-7901.
Help our sick pigeon, please.
Okay, well, here we go.
Harry the Swinger. He's one of those people who likes to keep active, plays a lot of golf, likes the theater, the beach, and goes dancing almost every Saturday night. But Harry didn't always swing. Up until 2 years ago, he was Harry the 9-to-5er. Then, he retired at age 65 and moved to Leisure World, a community for young senior citizens in Seal Beach, California. Now Harry can swing with more than 11,000 actively retired people. Because at Leisure World, you don't have to stop living when you stop working. Victoria Bond has a pretty full week ahead of her. She'll spend 2 evenings rehearsing with a local theater group. Thursday afternoon, she has a golf date. Friday, it's tournament bridge. And Saturday night, there's a dance at the community center. Sunday, Victoria will celebrate her 68th birthday at a party given by several of her neighbors at Leisure World, a community for older Americans in Seal Beach, California. There are more than 11,000 senior citizens living actively together in Leisure World because they know that at Leisure World, you don't have to stop living when you stop working.
Good evening, everybody.
Hey. Hey, that pizza was good, wasn't it?
Well, folks, we usually spend that time enjoying our pizza, which we get, but this week, no.
We didn't get it.
Fate was against us. Something went wrong.
In the system, violence, you know.
Yeah, so some link in the chain didn't measure up, and as a result, the whole thing fell apart.
Yeah.
We want to thank all the people who called us up offering
alternate sources of supply.
And we also want to thank the one person on the radio station who just happened to be near a place that was open and asked us innocently if we would want anything. Boy, we sure surprised that person, didn't we?
She'll never do it again.
She'll
never ask us again.
She ran out of room on the paper. Well, I don't know how much she's... how much money she has over there, but hopefully she'll come through on that. We didn't appreciate the one banana who called up and suggested we eat our pigeon. That wasn't very nice.
Squab for dinner.
No, that's not all right at all. I checked the notice. He's fine outside. He's not outside. He's sort of half inside.
Yeah,
half
he's still
outside.
Looking outside, though. I just checked on him, too, a few minutes ago.
What are we going to do with this pigeon, Mike? We're going to go home after the show. Are we going to leave the pigeon here or what?
Well, I don't know. We should take him outside. Leave him where I found him.
I don't know if that's a good idea. He was sort of walking around on the cement. That's not a place for a pigeon.
Well, put him in the grass. Behind a bush or something where nobody would see him, you know.
Even so, he's open to predators, like cats and things like that.
Yeah,
and he is wounded. I don't think we should put him out there. I think we should try to take care of him.
I'm not so sure that he is wounded, actually. Maybe he's just dormant because it's late at night.
I don't think that... We found him at 7 o'clock, or even earlier than that.
I found him.
Well, yeah.
At 7:30.
Okay.
Actually, it was about 7:20. But the sun, by that time, was just about all the way down. You know, it's like with bees, too. They get dormant at nighttime.
Not like that. You cannot take a bird out of its nest in the middle of the night and expect it to let you. And this pigeon has let us do just about anything.
Well, it's because he's just, you know, really just hanging out, just pretty complacent.
Well, he's trusting, and that's a problem.
Yeah.
In words, they shouldn't trust people, but they trust us. I think we should keep an eye on him a little bit longer, sort of entrust the station to look after him.
Well, I don't know about that.
Well, we have Rob's eyes, so he'll do a good job from 3 to 7.
We can count on Rob.
Bill McKenzie will be coming in from 7 to 11.
Yeah, we can count on him.
Okay, Tahira with the Pakistani music, she loves birds.
Oh,
Lister. Oh, Lister. Well, Lister's, what can you say?
Lister's always going after chicks.
That's right. Felix at 3:30 with his salsa music. He'll keep that pigeon swinging.
Then Yvonne Marks' brother will be in with him. It's his cousin.
Yvonne Marks'
brother.
No, yeah, you're right. Okay.
His brother.
I thought you were...
Yvonne Marks' brother, I think.
Yeah, but you heard the sort of double entendre there.
The old double entendre?
Yeah. Marx Brothers, very funny.
I get it now.
Did you mean to say that?
No. I should have said yes to make myself sound more comical than in fact I truly am.
Instead, you just sound stupid.
Hey, I can turn you off and you have nothing to say about it.
Please.
See, now we've got rid of Eric and he was...
don't do that. Oh, sorry. Okay, it's 28 minutes to 3 o'clock in the morning, and hopefully
we'll
have something to eat soon.
Right after this next tune, which... should we play a tune?
Well, why don't we just go into the little surprise that we were saving for the folks, an encore of one of the most popular things we've ever done.
Yes, you know, how earlier beforehand we were calling up Fisher's Island. Several weeks ago, Eric in the other studio there called up... why don't we just get into it?
Well, no, why don't we tell the people, just for, a couple of seconds, that what this is a repeat of, a scandalous investigation of something that the telephone company did not even know about.
Yes, an investigation by Radio Free Weekend's crack investigation team analyzed everything, I tell you.
That's for sure, and we found out that the phone company has an area code they didn't even know existed. Let no more be said. Let's just hear the hard evidence.
706. What is it? What does it mean to you? Radio Free Long Island has been doing some research, and we found a mysterious area code. Area code 706. Does it exist, or doesn't it? You be the judge.
Yes, operator, I was wondering if you could help me. I'm trying to find out what area the area code 706 is for.
706?
Yes.
We don't have any 706, sir.
What is it?
There's no area code 706?
There's a 705 and a 707, no 706.
Okay, thank you very much.
You're welcome.
Bye.
Interesting. According to the telephone company, there is no area code 706. Baffled and a little bit confused, I decided to try again.
Sandra, may I help you?
Yes, operator. I was wondering if you could help me. I'm looking for the location of a certain area code. It's 706.
Sure, hold on.
Thank you.
You're welcome. There is no 706 area code.
No 706.
Mm-hmm. Where'd you get it from?
I just heard about it from somewhere. I guess it doesn't really exist then if you say it doesn't.
No, there is a 716, which is upstate New York. But no
Buffalo, right. So that definitely is not a 706 area code.
No.
Thank you very much.
Welcome. Bye-bye.
Bye. Well, it would seem from the evidence we have that this is purely our imagination. There is no 706 area code. Well, let's see what happens when we try dialing a number in the 706 area code. Like a ring to me. Well, let's go back to our operator. Dial the number collect and see how they explain it.
Help you?
Yes, I'm making a collect call.
Your name, please?
My name is Eric.
Thank you.
And I was wondering if you could tell me where I'm calling, too.
Where you're calling?
Yes.
So you just asked me if there was a 706 area code before, and I told you there is no 706.
Well, did the call go through?
I'll try it. Hold on.
Thank you. Excuse me?
I don't understand why this is ringing here. There is no 706 area code.
Yeah, that's why I asked you. It seems a mystery.
You have no idea where this is supposed to be?
No idea whatsoever.
Because we list Canada, too. Nothing, no 706, not even in Canada.
It's very strange. Okay.
Hold on.
Thank you.
Check Bureau. Repeat. Check Bureau.
We're sorry. Your call cannot be completed as dialed. Please check the number and dial again. I'll call you up.
Check Bureau. Repeat.
Nope, I can't reach any operator in that area because we don't have an area like that.
This shouldn't be happening, in other words.
No, it shouldn't be. But you know what it might be? There's a 7-0. It could be Mexico. Okay? 7-0 and then 8 digits would give us a Mexico number.
Oh, really?
You don't want Mexico, do you?
I don't think so. Is that some sort of a new system?
Yes, sir. See, on some of the calls you can dial direct through Mexico, either 708 digits or 908 digits.
Uh-huh.
Right now, we're going through to Mexico.
Oh, I see. Is that a new system?
Yes, sir. There's two ways you can call Mexico, either with the country code 52 and the number, or, like I said, the 708D or 908D.
So I guess that's the explanation, then.
It has to be, sir.
Okay, well, thank you very much for your help.
Okay.
Bye.
Good night.
And so the problem is solved. 706. It leads to Mexico. This has been a Radio Free Long Island investigative report. Thank you. We'll be right back.
Title track from that album. Here on Radio Free Weekend.
What do you do here?
Hey, 2:49 or 11 minutes to 3.
Yeah.
And we are having quite a night here at the radio station. Making funny sounds. Sounds like you have some sort of electronic game in there. Like...
Yeah, it does sound that way.
Sounds like the machine's winning, too.
Just about.
You have some interesting things to tell us, don't you?
Interesting things to read, yes.
Okay,
I'm just going to reach back here and find them. I sound like I'm in a tunnel, though.
It does sound like you're in a tunnel. Why does it sound like...
By just adjusting this little knob.
We'll just turn it off, and so I can sound like I'm in dry land right now. Except I bounce the microphone all over the place. I bought myself a... A new tape deck.
the other day. Now, I'm dropping all my stuff all over the place. Now, it's made in Japan, and it comes with the instructions that were printed in Japan. And if we can get rid of some of that noise in the background.
Oh, the record's skipping. I'm sorry.
Thank you.
Happens now and then around here.
There's a couple of things that I just would like to read to our listener. Special precautions, number 6. Be sure to supply AC current to power this unit. Operation on a different voltages, that's what it says, operation on a different voltages may seriously damage this unit or cause fire. The Electronics Corporation cannot be held responsible for any any damage incurred during operation with unspecified voltages. And they're pretty nice. They give us a troubleshooting chart. there's three columns. There's problem, probable cause, and solution.
Hey, I got one.
And the first problem is unit will not turn on. The probable cause, AC supply lead is not connected correctly.
Plug it in, you dummy.
Solution, check AC supply lead for positive connection at the outlet. Well, what about negative connection?
I don't understand what that... Well, there are some things if you plug in the other way, it doesn't go in.
Yeah, it's true. This is not one of those.
Oh.
Problem. Tape will not run in any mode.
Uh-oh.
There's two probable causes. First, pause key is engaged. Solution? Depress and release pause key.
Hey, I never thought of that.
Second, tape is jammed.
Bum, bum, bum.
Solution? Replace cassette.
Aw.
Problem? Record key cannot be depressed. Probable cause? Cassette is inserted incorrectly.
Replace cassette.
No. Solution, take the cassette out and insert properly.
Oh, then replace cassette.
Another probable cause is erasure protection tab has been removed from the cassette. Solution, replace the cassette or... there you go. or refer to protection against accidental erasure section of instructions.
And there's a way to bypass that, too.
Mm-hmm.
It's by putting a little piece of masking tape or something over it.
That's right.
So there is no protection.
Well, that's true then. Problem? Recording is not possible.
Uh-oh.
Probable cause? Input selector is not set at proper position. Solution? Check and reset input selector. Problem? Playback sound is sometimes intermittent. Probable cause? Record playback head is dirty. Solution?
Replace cassette.
Nope.
Replace tape recorder.
Nope.
Replace your head.
Clean heads.
Oh, I was close.
Another probable cause is the tape in the cassette is badly stretched. Eric?
Replace cassette.
You got it.
Hey.
Hey. Playback sound is distorted.
Uh-huh.
Probable cause? Amplifier is distorting the sound. Solution? Check reproduction of amplifier in phono or FM mode. Repair or replace the amplifier.
Oh, that's no problem.
Mm-hmm. Another probable cause, tape was recorded with sound distortion. The solution? Re-record or replace the cassette.
Replace cassette, I'd say.
Yeah. Tape speed is erratic.
Oh, replace the cassette, definitely.
The probable cause is the capstan or pinch roller is dirty. And the solution is to clean those capstan and pinch rollers.
It could also be the battery is dead.
Yes, except it doesn't use batteries.
Probably if it did.
Yes. Well, there's other problems here, but they're not important.
AC current could be low.
Yeah, well, that would be
could
a different
could be a brownout in effect. Could be a war going on, and they're trying to conserve electricity.
That's very true, too.
They don't mention that, do they?
No, they don't. Has our food arrived yet, Eric?
No, it hasn't. I should say our quote-unquote food. We still had to go down to the pits tonight. But no, it's not here yet.
Next week we're having squab, right?
That's not very nice with Otis sitting out there.
Sorry, Otis.
No, I had a manual similar to that when I brought a tape recorder. It was a cassette, you know, one of those portable things.
Well, it's a good thing it wasn't an automatic then.
It was a lot more fun because it had all these pictures of people doing funny things like getting electrocuted and things like that, you know. It was drawn up in Japan, and it was just very, very funny looking at it.
I have
seen people dancing to the music, saying, "Oh, this is the way you should be playing it," and that type of thing.
And then in the meantime, they're jumping all over the power cord.
Right, it's showing things like that. Showing a dog chewing on the power cable.
Yeah, this
and sort of things coming out of his ears because of what he did.
I have a different
keep pets away from cassette players.
I have a different booklet called Important Safeguards. The first one shows pictures and some really ridiculous illustrations. For instance, I'll read a couple of these things to you. Number one, heed warnings. All warnings on the appliance and in the operating instructions should be adhered to. So I'd take the
I told you not to do that.
I'd hold the instructions in my hand and I'd adhere to them. Oh, sorry.
You will obey these instructions. Well, you will be sorry.
Warnings that's talking about. Number two is follow instructions. All operating instructions and instructions for use should be followed. Yeah, that's what you're talking about. Yeah.
Certainly was.
Okay, I'm glad you're still there. I was wondering what happened. I had lost any contact from you.
Yeah.
I just have to wake you up by throwing a few switches.
Listen, man, I don't make that kind of a noise. Why do you have to make that kind of a noise?
Well, you can do it, too.
I don't want to.
Oh.
I think that kind of thing is abnormal for people our age. To want to make silly noises.
Yeah.
We try to sound silly through machines.
Mm-hmm.
Well, all I want to say is we've got one more tune queued up here before we sort of shuffle out the door.
And what's that tune?
Well, I'll tell you in a second.
Is it from Somebody Evans?
No, it's not. I changed the record while I'm looking. Sorry, I like this tune better.
Oh.
Okay.
Why is that?
Because it sort of expresses the way that I feel sometimes.
Dear God, you made many, many poor people. I realize, of course, that it's no shame to be poor. But it's no great honor either. So what would have been so terrible if I had a small fortune? If I were a rich man, all day long I'd biddy biddy boom. If I were a wealthy man, I wouldn't have to work hard. If I were a bitty, bitty rich, yeah, you'd a diner, diner man. I'd build a big, tall house with rooms by the dozen, right in the middle of the town. A fine tin roof with a real wooden floors below. There couldn't be one long staircase just going up, and one even longer coming down, and one more leading nowhere just for show. I'd fill my yard with chicks and turkeys and geese and ducks for the town to see and hear, squawking just as noisily as they can. Will land like a trumpet on the ear, as if to say here lives a wealthy man. Oh, if I were a rich man, a young, all day long I'd be beautiful. If I were a wealthy man, I wouldn't have to work hard. If I were a bitty, bitty rich, I'd a diddle, diddle, diddle man. I see my wife, my goldie, looking like a rich man's wife with a proper double chin, supervising meals to our heart's delight. I see her putting on airs and strutting like a peacock. Oh, you, what a happy little she's there.
screaming at the sevens day and night. The most important men in town will come to fall on me. They will ask me to advise them like a son of the wise. If you please, Reb Zeviel, pardon me, Reb Zeviel, posing problems that would cross a rabbi's eyes. To make a 1 minute difference if I answer right or wrong. When you're rich, they think you really know. If I were rich, I'd have the time that I lack to sit.